Reporting from Toronto, Ontario, this is Mia Johnson, your community journalist with Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM. With food banks already operating at capacity, many fear the government's new housing bill could make things worse.
When I take a look at Bill 60, it's the government saying, hey, you voter, this is your fault. You put yourself in this situation. You fell behind on your rent.
Look, this legislation deals with people that are the bad actors, bad landlords, bad tenants. The vast majority of Ontario renters live by the rules.
I'm not sure where naming and shaming has ever really worked well in our society.
More than 70 food programs across Ontario signed an open letter to the provincial government last week, asking them to withdraw Bill 60 immediately. Now, if you've been living under a rock and don't know what Bill 60 is, this is Ontario's new housing bill. It just passed on Monday. It's another attempt from the province to speed up development for rental housing, cutting red tape. Municipal Affairs and Housing Minister Rob Black says the new legislation fosters balance and creates stability in the rental market, but it's been very unpopular. A reporter at our station's been following this closely. News coordinator Gabrielle Hilty joins me now. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, talking to advocates and renters in Toronto, the main thread that I'm hearing is that the bill will make it easier for landlords to evict people. It puts more pressure on tenants to provide information and make appeals faster at the landlord and tenant board. And it doesn't have anything that specifically increases the amount of housing in the province.
Thanks, Gabrielle.
Thanks, Mia.
1 million renters in Ontario need to use the food bank and are going hungry because they are paying their rent.
So North York Harvest Food Bank put out this open letter asking the province to repeal. Chiara Padovani is a social worker and community organizer. She leads this food bank's advocacy efforts. We talked to her about this campaign. We recorded this interview last Wednesday before the bill passed. She explains how food banks and this bill are connected. Here's some of that conversation.
North York Harvest Food Bank has started this, asking the provincial government to rescind, to withdraw Bill 60. Because of how afraid we are of the consequences of a bill like this will have on the levels of people who need to use food banks at a time when we are already at our limit, at a time when food banks are already seeing far too many people coming through the doors, and it's unsustainable. We can't meet the demand right now.
Yeah. Could you talk about what some of those consequences may be for charitable food banks?
Yeah. In Toronto, we're seeing well over 1 million visits to food banks in the city. And 1 in 5 people coming through our doors are spending 100% of their income on rent. 4 in 5 people coming through our doors are already at risk of homelessness because they're spending the majority of their income on rent. So what we are asking the government to do, and what we've been asking the government to do, is we need stronger tenant protections. We need more affordable rents, and we need major investment into rent cure to income, because clearly relying on the private sector to provide housing is making housing completely unaffordable for the vast majority of people in the city at a time when municipalities just like Toronto, but also municipalities all over this province, have declared both homelessness and food security crises. We have a provincial government that is bringing in legislation that is going to make things far worse, because it is removing tenant protections. And for the hundreds of thousands of people coming to food banks in Toronto, it's going to make life a lot harder for them. And it puts those people at greater risk of homelessness, but it also puts folks in Toronto who are not yet using food banks at a much greater risk of having to use food banks if they get evicted from their homes.
Rosanna Arujo is one of the signatories on North York Harvest Food Bank's letter campaign calling for a repeal. Arujo is the program coordinator for the Center of Spanish-Speaking Peoples. They run a biweekly food bank that's open on Fridays at Jane and Wilson for the York Center community.
we started seeing like skyrocket in prices at the grocery stores. Other costs of living started to skyrocket. I don't want to mention the big bad wolf down south, but I'm going to. And that's kind of really when we saw, like, it was like an exponential jump.
In the summer, her food bank saw a surge in food users. Earlier this year, they were serving about 150 households a month. She says now they're almost at 200.
It wasn't even like a small increase. It was like all of a sudden, to the point where we were like, holy smokes, where is everybody coming from?
Visits to food banks are up by almost 20% in Toronto, according to a yearly profile published in October on the state of food insecurity and poverty in the city. The data was collected by the Daily Bread and North York Harvest food banks. They recorded 4.1 million visits made to food banks between March 2024 and April 2025, not accounting for the spike Rosanna Arujo says she saw in the summer. More than half of the respondents who participated in the survey reported working full-time. Arujo says this is a common misconception about people visiting food banks, that they're unemployed or on disability. And while this is still a reality for some, it's not the case for everybody.
The one thing that I always speak about is the stigmatization to food insecurity, that we think it's, oh, it's folks on Ontario Works or ODSP. It's people who live in housing. It's disabled folks. And yes, those folks do make up a large demographic of food bank users, but it really is affecting all families, even households who have two working people. And we don't really take a look at the income level. So those two full-time people or workers in a home, like if they're making $17 or $18 an hour, but they're meant to support a family of four or six, like that's not happening, right? It goes beyond food insecurity. It goes into an affordability crisis, housing crisis, where, you know, they're making minimum wage, they're working 40 hours a week. Oftentimes our food bank users, when they are working full-time, they're actually working two full-time jobs. So we've got some parents who I know that are working like 60 to 80 hours a week. And then, of course, that affects their children because their children never see their parents because their parents are always working. So sometimes we've got some high school students, anywhere between 14 and 16, who actually come to the food bank on behalf of their parents. So they're missing first or second period of class to be able to come and get food for their homes because their parents are working. So the one thing I want to definitely reiterate in this is that food insecurity can affect working class people, people who are working, people who are working full-time jobs, people who are working two jobs, because the cost of living is just so astronomical.
The center caters to Spanish-speaking people only. You need to be Spanish-speaking. However, Arujo says she's folded in the past, given out a food hamper or two when someone is really in need.
You know, once upon a time, I was a food bank user, and I know the meaning, or I know how rather demeaning it can be to have to access a service like this that's so necessary, because there is that stigmatization that comes along with it. It's almost like I did something wrong. This is my fault. And when I take a look at Bill 60, it's the government saying, hey, you voter, this is your fault. You put yourself in this situation. You fell behind on your rent. You don't have good credit. You have to do this. You have to do that. And it puts the onus on the individual who's in crises. I can't turn a blind eye to that. That because that's not the case. It's not their fault. A lot of folks don't ask to be in these situations. I imagine myself at 24 years old, a single mother. I never asked to have to use a food bank. I didn't want to, but I had to, because if not, I couldn't feed myself. And if I couldn't feed myself, I couldn't breastfeed my child. I breastfed my child because I couldn't afford formula.
Like Rosanna Arujo, Christina Kennedy didn't ask to use a food bank either. But after her husband's sudden passing and an emergency C-section that became infected, her life changed. She is now a single mother on disability, living with chronic pain. Most of her income goes to paying rent, so she uses a food bank fairly often in New Toronto. She gets two large shopping bags worth of food once a week to feed herself and her four children. She's been picking up her groceries there for the last 4 years now. Here's some of what she had to say.
I just want stability and security in my life. And it's pretty hard living day to day knowing you don't have those things. And I try really hard to not let that impact myself or my parenting or my kids. But I mean, it's always kind of looming in the background that, you know, like, you know, with rent, if something happens, even for 1 month, you're going to be homeless. That is not security.
What she gets from the food bank is only enough to sustain her and her kids for around 2 days. So she's still spending $300 to $400 a week on food.
Because I have children, so I obviously get more than what a single person would get. But if you have less money and you don't even have enough money for half the month of groceries, you don't just get more food. Like, you literally get 2 days worth, no matter what your financial situation is.
Rosanna Arujo says if demand continues to increase, she'd make it work. But she'd have to start giving more to less people.
You said you've seen an uptick in the number already in the summer. Can you sustain supporting more people?
To be honest, I can't sustain supporting more people. But when there's a will, there's a way. And it will have to come down to me having a real hard conversation that I don't want to have with our food bank volunteers, even with the families who use our services, to say, I have to spread the wealth. So I might have to give you less. So the food that I'm able to support you with that probably lasts you anywhere from 3 to 5 days might need to last you 2 to 3.
We spoke to another food bank who is not asking for an outright repeal of Bill 60. While he doesn't support everything the bill stands for, he agrees with some aspects. This is Neil Hetherington, the CEO of the Daily Bread Food Bank, one of the organizations behind the data reporting those high rates in food bank visits. This food bank has over 200 programs across Toronto distributing food. Here's what he had to say.
You know, we can stomp our feet and say, do not pass this, repeal the act. It's happening. And so now it becomes about, you know, how do we support the government in regulation, and how do we support those that are going to be adversely affected? And you know what? Maybe we take it that extra mile and say, how do we support the development community? And folks in my community wouldn't say this very often, but how do we support developers in building rental units? You know, we never talk to them and say, hey, landlords, what would get you to build another building or two more buildings so that, you know, people have access to affordable rental units? And so I think it's got to be a all parties kind of effort. And it's not one pitting themselves against another.
Hetherington says he's pushing back on what critics have been calling the proposed blacklist, and I say that with hand quotes, where under the new legislation, landlords would be able to track evictions.
There's a registry that's going to be set up of bad tenants, evicted tenants. And I'm not sure where naming and shaming has ever really worked well in our society. You know, walking around with a scarlet letter saying that this is an individual who was evicted only continues that punishment that they've already gone through. And we have a system already in place. It's called a credit check that we have in place to be able to deal with that. What if that happened when you were a student? But now you're 50 years old. Yeah, I got evicted 30 years ago. Is that going to be the thing that discriminates against giving somebody a rental opportunity? So I think there's some thoughtfulness that needs to happen.
NDP leader Merritt Stiles introduced an opposition day motion on Monday just after the bill passed, but it was quickly turned down. The motion put pressure on Ontario Premier Doug Ford to repeal Bill 60 and to bring in proper rent control. You're tuned in to Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM. Fact-checking for this episode was done by Kinza Safar. This coverage wouldn't have been possible without the support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. This has been your Community News Update. I'm Mia Johnson.